You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This content factory we call the Rich Eisen Show.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
And if you don't have a sense of excitement about this, I don't know what you're here for.
The Rich Eisen Show.
I can't tell you enough how much I love your show.
With guest hosts Ben Lyons and Kirk Morrison.
Boom.
Live.
Boom.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
The Rich Eisen brand is really hot. Right?
That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
And now, sitting in for Rich.
We're ready for any challenge.
Here's Ben Lyons and Kirk Morrison.
Welcome, everyone, to the Rich Eisen Show. I am Ben Lyons, hanging out with Kirk Morrison, the former Raider linebacker. On a Friday, we appreciate you spending some of your day with us here today as Rich is on his last day of vacation. He'll be back, of course, on Monday. We are absolutely loaded today. We've got a big show. Darius Miles, the other half of the Knuckleheads, is going to be calling in a little later. We had Quentin Richardson, his partner in crime, on yesterday, and now D. Miles is going to come through. So looking forward to that. The first NBA player I was older than. Hold a special place in my heart. Ben Schwartz, big Knicks fan. You know him as Sonic the Hedgehog, of course, and Middle Ditch and Schwartz. He'll be calling in, as will Matt Light, former Super Bowl champion three times with the New England Patriots, and Ed Bouchette from The Athletic knows all things Steelers. So we are absolutely loaded, and I'm so excited to have Kirk Morrison here today because he provides us with NFL insights like this.
I don't know how gluten-free J.J. Watt is.
I mean, we don't know where he gets this information from, this perspective.
I don't know how gluten-free J.J. Watt is.
But it's what makes him the best in the business. Great to have you here today, Kirk.
Oh, appreciate it, Ben. Yeah, I still don't know what J.J. Watt gluten-free is going to provide for an NFL team. So, yeah, we'll get into that at some point today.
You know, yesterday we had a whole show planned. We were ready to get into this Fernando Tatis contract. We were ready to get into the Lakers' injury woes. And then the Carson Wentz trade went down, and obviously the show wrote itself yesterday.
Well, that's always the best part.
Now it's been 24 hours later, and the dust has settled, and the idea of Carson Wentz in Indianapolis is finally starting to sink in. Who do you think won the trade 24 hours later, Kirk?
Wow. I think Indianapolis wins this trade. Because they got a quarterback in Carson Wentz who they think that they can bring back to his form of his first couple of years in the NFL. I think that's where you start it. I think psychologically for Carson Wentz, this is also a win for him, which also gives the Indianapolis Colts a win. Because it's a new market for him, a new team, a new family, a new structure. He goes to a place and where the media is not going to bear him down every single day with every missed opportunity or missed pass or interception. He can go back to being the Carson Wentz that I remember coming out of North Dakota State back in 2016. Okay, that's the quarterback that I want to see. That's what I think Indianapolis is going to get. And they have a roster where he doesn't have to be Superman. Like, that's what I want people to know. He doesn't have to go there and be Superman. Just be good. You don't have to be great. Just be good. Give some stability. And I think that's why I think Indianapolis won this trade. Now, on the other side, did Philadelphia lose? Yes, they lost this trade more so because of the commitments that were given. The commitment that was given to Carson Wentz, first of all, to draft him back in 2016, they traded up to number two to get Carson Wentz. Then you think about what transpired in between where they had to give up Nick Foles, and then they brought him back, and it's like, okay, they had to give him up. And then did the contract extension, and then now to give him up for basically a third rounder and a second that could be a first. And it's just too many conditions. And so to me, it's a loss for Philadelphia because 5 years ago, Ben, right, we thought they fixed their quarterback problem for the next 10 to 15 years. And when you say like, no, it's like, it doesn't work that way.
Kirk Morrison joins the show. Ben Lyons, of course, filling in for Rich Eisen today. And I appreciate you spending some time with us on the Rich Eisen Show. I agree with you. Philadelphia lost the trade.
Lost.
I disagree with you that Indianapolis won the trade. Oh. I think Indianapolis lost the trade. I think this is the first time in a long time, maybe the first time in the history of the sport, where both teams got worse from making the trade. Because think about it. A year ago at this time, right. Indianapolis knew they were sitting on something special. They knew they had young talent. They knew they had a good defense. They knew they had had pieces in place to make a return to the playoffs right. possible. After losing Andrew Luck, a total surprise. It was not part of the plan. So in March of 2020, they go and they get Phillip Rivers. Mm. And they know it's just a placeholder. They know it's Robert Redford in that movie where he doesn't talk and he's just sinking in the boat the whole time. And he's plugging the holes. They know that's what it is. But they think they can make the sail to shore. They think that Phillip Rivers can get them to the playoffs. So imagine you're in that locker room in February last year and you know you're sitting on something special. You don't know who your quarterback is. And boom, in walks the future Hall of Famer, Phillip Rivers. That's going to inject confidence, stability into that locker room. Well, now flash forward a year. You know you're sitting on something special. You got a great group of guys. You just came off a playoff run. You got great pieces. Well, in walks Carson Wentz. That doesn't give me an inspired feeling that we're getting better as a football team. That doesn't give me any more confidence than I had when Phillip Rivers walked in a year ago. So they're in a worse place than they were a year ago at quarterback.
Yeah, I can see that, definitely. Your opinion on that one is spot on. But I say that this is where I think the win does come in for Indianapolis. The win comes in that we all know guys on their second time or second go-around or new place, new opportunity. The win is going to come that Carson Wentz has to go out and prove it now. We talk about having chips on shoulders. Carson Wentz, he's got a boulder now because he's going to Indianapolis trying to prove everybody in Philadelphia wrong. He's trying to prove the coaching staff's wrong, the organization wrong. Something has happened to where their relationship was fractured that he needed to get out of Philadelphia. He left Philadelphia and said, look, man, y'all trade me. And so now he's got to prove everybody right. I needed to get out of there to prove to you that I'm still the same quarterback. I just didn't have the opportunities. You didn't surround me with weapons. And so I think that's where Indianapolis will win because they got a highly motivated quarterback who's still very young. They're not getting the Cam Newton to New England after spending, 10 plus years or almost 10 years in Carolina. They're getting a guy who's only in year 6. We can honestly say he's still in the infant stages of his career in the NFL to where he truly can change what's happened over the last couple of years and be a top-tier quarterback if he allows it to happen, if he allows the concepts, if he allows the team to just be the team, come in and do your part. That's where I think that Indianapolis ends up winning this.
Our engineer, Super Raider fan Art, shouted out Jim Plunkett as one of those guys who had a change of scenery and was able to reinvent himself and have success.
Absolutely.
I think of Drew Brees, somebody I saw play at Purdue in college, who went to San Diego, didn't quite work out, went to New Orleans and became a Hall of Famer.
Correct.
You can look at the Carson Wentz situation with very positive goggles like you just did, Kirk. I can tell this is why you've had success in your life because you wake up every day ready to take on life's challenges head on. You're looking at the world with positive energy. Wow, after 5 years, now he has an opportunity. Well, I say to myself, look, why is it that he ran himself out of Philadelphia in 5 years? Why is it that this guy was the number two pick and 5 years later he's in the doghouse? Why is it that, guys like Dr. Clapper, who came on earlier in the year, in the week with us, he said it's no longer the era of PEDs, it's PES, performance-enhancing surgery. And wow. Carson Wentz is someone who has benefited from that, but that's not even the issue. I'm not worried about his physical because of PES, because we have surgeries nowadays that can get these guys right a lot easier than before. Just go and look at the Alex Smith piece on 60 Minutes. But it's upstairs with Carson Wentz. Yeah. It's his mental. It's a mind game. So that has me more concerned than rehabilitating an ACL or something because of PES, as Dr. Clapper says. So it's the mindset of Carson Wentz that I don't know is 100% right, which, again, if I'm in that locker room in Indianapolis or I'm that fan base, makes it really hard for me to wrap my arms around this guy and say, okay, we're better off today than we were a year ago.
Ben, you're in the industry also as well. You do great with sports and I love working with you.
Thanks, but, buddy. The check's cleared. We already got the gig. You don't have to big me up. No. It's okay.
I'm telling you, when it comes to film, when it comes to entertainment, you're also, to me, my expert in that. And when it comes to critics, where are the critics harshest at, in the city of New York or in Los Angeles? Just in terms of where do I know
the
critics come from
at the Cannes
everywhere.
Film Festival? Ugh, it was terrible. I do not like the cinema.
But think about how many times in the industry that you also work in. Think about this, where someone does a pretty good job, great job, and all of a sudden they get that review, they get in that Rotten Tomatoes review, and all of a sudden you lose them. They're done. Like, I can't do this anymore. They can't take the criticism. Like, I put all my effort into this, and you're criticizing me. And we know people who can't handle it, or some people who are so wrapped up into what
Jerry
others
Ferrara,
think.
Yeah, Kevin Connelly.
To what others think
guys.
Of them.
No, I'm just kidding.
Honestly, but think about it. How many
yes,
guys?
No, you're absolutely right. You can get a 99.9 on Rotten Tomatoes and want to drive off a cliff in Malibu. I get it.
And so I think for us that we're starting to realize, and I know this in the NFL, and the reason why from coaches. Coaches treat different players differently, right? I think Jimmy Johnson was one of the great coaches who did that in his career. Said, I can't treat Troy Aikman and Emmitt Smith and Michael Irvin like I would treat, my defensive end, Charles Haley, or my second string center. Like, you have to treat each player differently.
Wait, Randy Moss and Warren Sapp had better treatment in Oakland than you did, Kirk? What?
Absolutely. I mean, that was first ballot Hall of Famers. You know what I'm saying? Whatever they needed, yeah. I didn't get days off, but I was a youngster though. I was a rookie, but I think mentally I've watched not only as a media member now, but I watched as the media would critique or the questions that were asked to players who were sat next to me or in the locker room or even asked me about certain players. It gets to you mentally. Like I had a coach used to always tell me, don't read the paper. Because if you start to read the paper, you may believe what people are writing. Because I read the paper one time and I realized what he was saying, because that was totally not the case. You would think that our organization was about to implode, but yet all it was that we had a bad couple weeks and we had to get some things fixed. I'm just bringing all that up because I think that Carson Wentz is one guy. I'm not saying that he's fragile by no means, but I'm saying that he's a guy that seems to that the criticism did affect his play. The criticism did affect how he performed on the field. Now he's going to a place and an environment where I'm not saying that we're calling in the Indianapolis sports radio every day, right? It's just what it is. I don't think people are going to be lined up on Monday morning and say, hey, man, get that quarterback out of there. You know what I mean? I don't know if that was an accent from Philly or not. But
it's a family show, Kirk, so you couldn't really do the impersonation justice. I get it.
Yeah, but I honestly, that's what I feel like. People will understand, like, it is different. Like, I've played in the big media market, but I've also played in Jacksonville. And in Jacksonville, there's two main radio stations, a couple beat writers. You don't get the same attention. Whereas when I was in Buffalo, you're in New York, that market, or in the Bay Area when I was with the Raiders, and you walked in and you have eight different channels, right? Then you have your national media, and you can't even walk through the locker room because of the attention that is given every single day. Where he's going to a place, I'm not calling India small, well, kind of a small market, mid-major market. It won't be the same attention that he got in Philadelphia.
But it's still the National Football League, Kirk. Kirk Morrison and Ben Lyons filling in for Rich on the Rich Eisen Show.
So man, we're not leading with Carson Wentz and what he did. When he's in Philadelphia, we're leading SportsCenter, right? We're leading NFL Game Day.
Yeah,
we're
Sal Palantonio doesn't make his way out to Indianapolis. I get it. Saying. He just stays on I-95. that guy must be on a first-name basis with every toll booth collector on I-95.
Oh, that was hilarious. That was a good one, man. Sal Palantonio. Yeah. Yeah, Sal's got to do something different now because he doesn't have the Carson Wentz story in Philadelphia, right? They got to fix
it. But that's what's, it's Jalen interesting. Hurts. You mentioned how star players get star treatment, whether it's in Hollywood or in sports, and that's absolutely the case. And I think that's where the true stars understand how to balance being elevated and being different, but also being one of the guys. It's what LeBron James has done such a great job of throughout his career. He has a special handshake with everybody. He makes everybody on the team feel
not last night
a part of it. We'll get to the Lakers last night. They got some bigger problems than LeBron fitting in with the guys. Mm-hmm. TB12, we saw it this year in Tampa Bay. He's the GOAT. He's an icon. He's throwing passes to kids who are kids compared to him, who were, in grade school when he got in the league and had his poster on their wall in high school. but yet he manages to make those guys feel like they're on the same level. And he does it in a genuine way, and he does it in a way that I think ultimately elevates everyone else. And while Carson Wentz has not sniffed the success of Tom Brady, he has struggled in Philadelphia with blending in, being one of the guys, but also having his own relationship with the owner, having his own, you know, workout plan and his own kind of timetable for getting back to the team. Like, that's been something for him. I mean, you saw it with him not even dressing in week 17 and not even playing in week 17. How are you going to be one of the guys? You're not even suiting up. Oh, because you're different. And I think that's for Carson Wentz been a struggle of how do you be the star guy, the number two guy, the face of the franchise, but also one of a 54-man roster.
Well, I look at it like this. Carson Wentz was making Thanksgiving dinner, all right, a lot of times in Philadelphia. And everybody was excited for what he was doing, how he prepared the dinner, and everybody knew what they had to bring and what they had to do. But then all of a sudden, he went to go take a nap, and dinner was not finished. And yet here comes Nick Foles with this apple pie dessert. And everyone forgot about dinner and just let, I just want to eat this apple pie. It is amazing. And all the attention went from the quarterback to the guy who brought in this delicious dessert. And we're just eating the dessert and we forgot about everything else that was left on the table. And everybody's like, well, forget dinner. We just want to keep eating the dessert. And they're like, no. He made the dinner. We're going to make sure that we're going to continue to eat what he's been doing and preparing. It's like, nah, man, that apple pie that Nick Foles brought, man, that was actually delicious.
There's nothing worse than green beans after apple pie. Like if you go to town on some dessert and then bring out some cauliflower, it's a wrap.
But honestly, that's what happened. I mean, let's be real. Like, you had Nick Foles that came out and did this, and everyone's telling, well, no, we're going to go back to the guy that prepared. Nah, that apple pie was actually pretty good. No, let's go back to what we were doing. The guy, he just took a little nap. He'll be back, and we're going to go back to our regularly scheduled dinner for Thanksgiving. And it's like, nah, man, that's not it. So I'm saying that because I think that he can start all over now in Indianapolis. He can integrate himself with a team that's already set
it's
up.
It's definitely with
a leadership.
Charcuterie plate in Indianapolis right now.
You think so?
Guests are arriving and can start all over. And you hang up your coat, grab a little handful of nuts and some dried apricots and make some conversation
brie?
With your
uncle. You got a little brie cheese on there? You got what, some Gouda?
Yeah, you know, you put together a little side plate, get it going, and then everyone sit down for dinner. All right, coming up next, we got Matt Light. Matt Light's an interesting guy. This guy played 11 years in New England. I want to know what it was like to watch Tom Brady play in the Super Bowl. Must have been a strange feeling for him, having been a teammate of his for so long. Plus, he's got a great new charity initiative. We're going to get into it with Matt coming up next. It's Ben Lyons and Kirk Morrison filling in for Rich on The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep, because if I don't have one, just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome back to the show. Ben Lyons and Kirk Morrison filling in for Rich on The Rich Eisen Show. Want to send lots of love, good energy, to all those folks in Texas without power who have really been going through it the last couple days, Kirk. The more I'm reading about it, the more serious I see it is down there. And I just want to take a moment and let those folks know we're thinking about them. We're sending good love. If you want to give back, if you want to help out, of course, the Red Cross is always a great organization to lend some support to. Red Cross has a chapter down in Texas, redcross.org, giving relief and helping people out. And somebody who's been helping people out really since he got in the league back in 2001 is Matt Light, who joins the show in 2001. The former NFL player and three-time Super Bowl champion started the Light Foundation with his wife, Susie. They're dedicating themselves to helping young people develop skills and values and find their way in life, and he joins the show right now. What's up, Matt? Thanks so much for taking some time with us. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Doing well, man. Doing well. Tell me about this cross-sport charity thing you're working on. You're giving back with some guys from baseball and from the Kansas City Chiefs, and there's a truck involved. What's the deal?
Well, it started with a prank from Anthony Sherman, where he filled Adam LaRoche, you know, former Major League Baseball player and all-around awesome guy, filled his truck full of about 13,000 Oreo cookies. And then, you know, I get a call from Adam saying, hey, I'm going to get Sherm back. I want to auction off his truck without him knowing it. So the week before the Super Bowl, he launched, and I'm talking about Anthony Sherman, via his own Twitter account, shermfightsforfreedom.org, where he is, in fact, giving away his truck. Now, he didn't know he was doing it when he did it, but he is doing it, and he's all on board now, and we've had a lot of fun with it. And today at 6 p.m., someone is going to win a very, very nice, well-appointed F-250 with a lot of upgrades to it. So that's the long and short of it. And at the end of the day, all the money raised, which has been considerable to this point, is going to go to the E3 Ranch Foundation, which fights human trafficking and supports our military men and women.
So now you got the F-250 going. Okay. So now, as many times as if you've been a part of different charities, where's this one rank for you, Matt, in terms of your involvement and how you kind of got involved with it?
Well, it's been fun. I mean, the week leading up to the Super Bowl, we had so much fun with this, and Anthony's reaction was one of the greatest of all time. There was actually a guy hiding in the hamper in the locker room for the Chiefs when he found out. Actually, one of his assistant coaches came up to him and was like, dude, that's awesome what you're doing with your truck to raise money for charities. Like, that's great. And he's like, uh-oh, I've got a problem. So, yeah, we've had a lot of fun raising money. And, you know, and the money raised for this, while we've had fun doing it, it's amazing how impactful it'll be. And that's something that I've always enjoyed, is being a part of things that, you know, help make a difference in other people's lives and having fun doing that.
Matt Light joins the show, three-time Super Bowl champion, giving back in a big way. Ben Lyons and Kirk Morrison filling in for Rich Eisen. And we just came off seeing Tom Brady win a Super Bowl. And it's the year 2021. We're not in a weird timeline. This is the real world, Matt. How is it for you, having been a teammate for so many years with TB12, to see him out there, not in a Patriots uniform, playing in the world's biggest game?
Yeah, really interesting. I mean, I don't think any of the people that, you know, kind of really were looking into this and thinking, okay, where is he going to end up? You know, what team is he going to choose and why? I don't know why, but Tampa Bay didn't really come to mind. And to see them, you know, have a pretty wild season, you know, start off with a loss to New Orleans in New Orleans, I see them run the gamut just after Thanksgiving and playing really good football, and then get into the postseason just doing what Tom Brady does, but not by himself, by the way. I'm actually just outside of Tampa Bay, been down here grabbing a few sun rays and having some fun. And when you see people walking around with Make Tampa Bay Great Again and Brady Gronk on the shirt, you kind of have to shake your head in disbelief. It's still hard to believe.
You know, Matt, one of the things that I think leading up to Super Bowl week, which was pretty interesting, there was the comments of Danny Amendola, who talked about that in New England, it wasn't the Patriot way. It was really more about Tom Brady's way and what he brought to that team and forced kind of guys to kind of follow his lead. And so I know you were part of an era in which Tom was still the young pup, right? He was still the young guy. You were right there with him as the younger players. But when you hear it was more of Tom Brady's way and not the Patriot way, what first comes to mind?
Well, look, I mean, I think Danny sees it, you know, the way that he saw it when he was there. And he came in after I was there, just after I had left. And, you know, he had a lot of experience, you know, being around Bill and the staff and everybody else. So, you know, I'm not saying that he's wrong in the way he saw it, but there's something that got it to the point where he stepped in, right? And mm-hmm. and that goes to what you spoke of. I mean, I was there to see that transition. You know, the Patriot way was really defined probably for the nation for the first time ever when we came out of the tunnel as a team, announced as a team, not as individuals, in that Super Bowl, you know, in New Orleans against the greatest show on turf in St. Louis. So, you know, I've seen it from the beginning up until now, and there's a lot that goes into it. Is Tom Brady a huge part of that? There is no doubt. There is no doubt about that. But, you know, the Patriot way and winning and doing things at a high level, you know, definitely starts with Coach Belichick, his staff, you know, the atmosphere that he creates and the competitiveness that comes with it. And that's something that was really easy to see that Tommy brought with him down here to Tampa Bay, that competitive drive and doing things at a very high level.
Hey, Matt, I want to go back to something that you said, because I don't think people realize that moment in history for a lot of NFL players. It may have been small to others, but to me, I thought it was huge. I remember that Patriots team coming out against the Rams, and yet it was you guys as a team, not as a introducing the offense, not introducing the defense. It was something that kind of shook up the way Super Bowls and introductions went. Take me back to that moment and when you guys decided, hey, we're going to come out as a team, and just the reception that you guys got, because that was not the norm, Matt.
Yeah, well, and it was the norm for us, which is kind of the interesting part of it, right? Like, for us, you know, there was a lot that happened that season. I mean, we started off the year with Coach Rabine, our quarterback coach, who passed away unexpectedly. Obviously, we had the adversity and really felt the sorrow of a nation with 9/11. And then you get to the Super Bowl, and there is no week leading up to the week of the Super Bowl. And you know, so everything was so fast-paced and crammed in. And towards the end of the Super Bowl week preparation, I remember there was some conversation about our introduction, and that I'm pretty sure the league was pretty adamant about us having individual introductions. And we hadn't done that really for the whole season. We'd come out as a team. You know, the individual announcements weren't a big deal, because the mantra within the organization was, hey, look, we're all in this together. You know, we're not a whole group of superstars. We're just a whole bunch of guys bringing their lunch pail to work and working hard. And, you know, so we took a stand on it and said, hey, you know, regardless of what the league says, this is what we're going to do. And it's the first time that I ever really remember acknowledging it as a kind of differentiator for who we are. But it did pull us together, you know, especially at the end of what was a very difficult week of preparation. So, yeah, I mean, it was a unique moment in time that did get overlooked. But for us, it was really just a way of doing business.
Matt Light joins the show. Ben Lyons and Kirk Morrison filling in for Rich Eisen. Today is the last day to win Anthony Sherman's big truck. The truck's fantastic. You can benefit, of course, the E3 Ranch Foundation by going to shermfightsforfreedom.org, or you can check out more about Matt's foundation, the Light Foundation, at mattlight72.com. And what's amazing, Matt, when I look back at your career, 11 years with one team in the NFL, and now it seems like player mobility is as fluid as it's ever been. As a fan of the game, do you like seeing guys bounce around teams, even though in your own career, you obviously made a home in New England?
Yeah, I think it's kind of the inevitable side of the game, right? I mean, it's, you know, each team and their needs and when they need them and how to utilize the assets, right? I mean, because that's what players are, right? They're assets. And, you know, you have to do certain things with certain assets at certain times. And I think there are times when, you know, there are teams that move on from players and everybody's thinking, okay, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But as Bill Belichick would say, right, as my coach used to say, is I'm going to do what's in the best interest of the team. And a lot of times that's not the easy thing to do. So I understand why it happens. But, you know, and look, there's a lot of the guys that are dictating their own future, right? They're basically letting the organization know, this isn't a place I want to be. I want you to move on. So the game has changed quite a bit. I like to see guys that remain in a market for a long period of time, you know, to stick with a franchise. And, you know, you kind of get to see their maturation. You get to see the little nuances that come into their game. And I think there is a comfort, especially for a player like me. I loved, you know, knowing that, you know, the staff and the ownership and everything was going to be consistent. All I had to do was take care of mine. When you move around a ton, there's a lot that comes with it. It's not easy. But, you know, after seeing what Tommy and Gronk have done, yeah, I guess you can't fault it either. Fine.
Matt, everyone knows you as the longtime Patriot, but I still remember you as the pride of West Lafayette at Purdue University, where you also blocked for another legendary quarterback in Drew Brees, who's got a big decision to make, Matt. He's got to decide, does he come back to the NFL for one more season, or does he decide to retire? And just from your time and knowing him and being around him, what do you think of his career so far? And if he decides to hang it up, what will he be most noted for?
You know, look, I think his status is locked in and has been for quite some time. If you talk to the guys that have shared a locker room with him or worked alongside him at the NFLPA and the work that he's done as a player rep and as a guy on the executive committee, if you've ever, you know, worked with him in the business realm outside of the game, everybody will say the same thing. I mean, there's a guy that's as genuine as the day is long. He works as hard as anybody. I mean, look, if you're a left tackle of the National Football League or you're a left tackle anywhere in the history of the game of football at any level, and your two quarterbacks since you left high school were Drew Brees and Tom Brady, you can be the worst player on earth because those guys will make you look good day in and day out. And I was very fortunate to be around those guys. They're as competitive as any two people have ever been on planet Earth. And they work their tails off. And Drew's legacy has been cemented for quite some time. And look, the numbers say it, right? But they don't tell the real story. Again, talk to the guys that have played with him. Look at some of the things that have been written about him by people that know him really well. And you see one of the classiest guys to ever play any sport, period.
Matt Light joins the show. Ben Lyons and Kirk Morrison filling in for Rich Eisen on the Rich Eisen Show. And you can support this great charity initiative that Matt's behind by going to shermfightsforfreedom.org, benefiting the E3 Rants Foundation. And last thing here for you, Matt, you know, as you embark on the next chapter of your life, you've had some time now away from the league. What is it that you look forward to every day when football is no longer a part of your life? You're not going to practice. You're not training. You're not consumed with game film. What is it that, you know, really inspires you and has you excited about the next chapter of your life?
You know, I think it comes down to me doing anything at a super high level with people that are committed, right? I mean, and that's kind of a Homer thing to say in some ways. And it's like, yeah, okay, we'd all like to do that. But really, I think for myself and so many guys that I know that played in the league long enough to really grab hold of, you know, the things that are important, you know, having a great team of people around you, having people you can count on and depend on, having people that'll show up and work just as hard as you will. You know, when you look at all those attributes that make, you know, a successful team, and then you try to transition that into the real world, right? Not football, but something else, another passion. Sometimes you get caught up in the, man, like, is there anybody else out there that wants to work a full day? Or, you know, it's intimidating to be in the real world, and so you get caught up in some of the, you know, locker room talk stuff that was kind of, you know, brought things down. I love trying to figure out how can I do something at a super high level in the real world, and it's what drives me each and every day, and doing it with great people, right? And I think that for so many guys that leave the game of football, it's finding that next thing that does develop that passion. And when you're around really good people that have a committed, you know, approach to what they do, it makes that transition a lot easier. But it's not easy to find. I've been in the real world long enough now to know that, you know, sometimes you just got to kind of grin and bear it, you know, you got to just be able to put up with it. But at the end of the day, it's what makes the work we do through the foundation and other working with other nonprofits, you know, so much fun because, you know, you get to see an immediate return on that investment and the time you put into it. So I'm enjoying it, man. It's been a great kind of post-football career. Still love watching the guys that I've, you know, played with and have always supported, and new cats that are coming in do their thing. But there's a lot of challenges here in the real world that make each and every day exciting as well.
Matt, I have no doubt that whatever you put your mind to, you're going to have great success. Just stay away from Hollywood because you want to work with people who actually go to work. I don't think that's in your future, but I think you'll be fine doing whatever else you put your mind to. Thanks for taking some time.
Ben, Kirk, thanks a lot, guys. Have a great weekend.
He wants to go to work every day, put in a full day. Nobody in Hollywood's trying to do that. Try to have a phone call and go to the beach.
That's great.
Matt Light joining the show, 3-time Super Bowl champ. Coming up next, which NFL team should not move their quarterback? I got one in particular. I hope Rich is listening. Ben Lyons in, Kirk Morrison filling in for Rich on the Rich Eisen Show.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
Judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show. Ben Lyons and Kirk Morrison filling in for Rich on a Friday. Thank you so much for spending part of your day with us, hanging out here as we get ready for a big sports weekend. The Genesis in town here in Los Angeles. A lot of NBA action, of course. NBA doing a good job of reclaiming Sundays now that the NFL is done.
And Saturday nights.
And Saturday night and Thursday night and TNT Tuesday night and doubleheaders Wednesday night and NBA TV fan night.
They're dominating right now.
It's basketball season for sure. And I got a quick story to tell here before we get into this next topic. But I was driving around Beverly Hills yesterday, and I saw this woman who was like 6'8", getting into her car. And I said to myself, wait a minute. Is that Liz Cambage? And I did a huge U-turn on Robertson, and I went around the corner, and I said, oh, my God, you're Liz Cambage. I'm a huge fan. I totally nerded out, did not play it cool. She is incredible. She's the center for the Las Vegas Aces. Mm-hmm. She's been in and out of the WNBA throughout her career, but she plays down in Australia. Honestly, Kirk, like, she is such a superstar. She should be in the Fast and Furious movies, in the Expendables. She's getting healthy again for the first time. She can be back on the court this year. I don't know what athlete, like, you're super starstruck by who maybe isn't the biggest star or what celebrity, but I'm a diehard Liz Cambage fan. I have been for a long time. So the fact I saw her in real life yesterday just filled my cup with joy, and I'm a huge fan. So shout out to Liz Cambage.
I think that athlete for me is Eric Dickerson. Because, like, I grew up, like, watching Eric Dickerson, but just to see him, and just – he's just one of those guys that has, like, all this swagger. He's just, like, so cool, and he wears – you know, he made, like, those goggles in the helmet kind of cool. He has the face mask that he wore. It was called the Dickerson face mask, like, growing up in my Pop Warner years when I played football. And then, like, I meet him, and I'm like, man, that's Eric Dickerson. So it's, like, Eric Dickerson and Marcus Allen both. Like, they look like they can still play, like, right now. And I know they're well within their 50s and their later years. But yet, they look like they can still play in the NFL. It's just crazy.
I think the story goes with Marcus Allen when he played in the Super Bowl. He drove a car to the stadium. And did he win a Super Bowl MVP or something? Or he won a Super Bowl?
Yeah, he won the Super Bowl.
And then he left. Right, with the LA, of course, Art, the Raider fan, knows our engineer, Art. But I think he left the rental car, like, at the stadium or something.
I wouldn't be surprised. They actually won. They actually won the Super Bowl.
And obviously, it's a crazy whirlwind afterwards. But
I believe the Raiders' last Super Bowl they won actually was in Tampa. which was Super Bowl 18, I believe, was in Tampa. So you know, the only reason why I know that because we were talking a lot about it as a Raider alum. We're talking about, hey, the significance of a Super Bowl in Tampa, because that was one of the last ones in which the Raiders won, and Coach Flores was the coach as well who inducted into the Hall of Fame. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised that Marcus Allen and just the way the Raiders – because at the time, if you remember, Ben, the Raiders were actually sort of renegades because they were staying in Oakland yet flying to Los Angeles to play games because they were still in the midst of the transition from the Oakland Raiders to the Los Angeles Raiders. So I'm not surprised at all if he drove to the game. I've actually had a teammate take a taxi to the game because he missed the team bus. I won't throw him under the bus. But I had a teammate. He missed the team bus that's waiting outside our hotel, Ben. He takes a cab because Ubers weren't here yet. This was pre-Uber. He takes a cab to the stadium. And the funniest thing, he gets to the gate and they're like, excuse me, sir, how can I help you? Yeah, I play for the Raiders. No, that's not going to work, buddy. No, I'm serious. Like, I play for the Raiders. I need to get to the locker room. Like, sorry, buddy. That's not going to. Team security has to go all the way up to the gate and say, yes, he is one of our guys, and bring him into the stadium. It is still one of the funniest stories.
I feel like that happens a lot to guys. B.J. Armstrong, for years with the baby face, couldn't get into Chicago Stadium when he was on those Bulls teams because looked 10 years old.
I bet, man.
You were talking Raiders history. Our engineer, Art, Raiders Art, printed out this list this morning. It's the list of Oakland Raiders all-time linebackers.
Oh yeah,
top 10 list here. We're gonna get into that a little bit later. Where do you think you rank on this list, Kirk, of all time Raiders linebackers?
Hopefully in the top 10, top 5, maybe.
You're definitely in the top 10. So we're gonna break down where you rank in the top 10 a little bit later. But I wanted to talk about quickly, and shout out to Liz Cambage. Thank you for letting me just completely nerd out. I promise you, I'm a lot cooler than how I acted yesterday. I want to talk about one quarterback that should not be on the move. We've seen a blockbuster trade between the Lions and the Rams earlier this offseason that sent Matthew Stafford to Los Angeles, where hopefully he takes the Rams back to the Super Bowl. We've seen Carson Wentz now move from Philadelphia to Indianapolis. Deshaun Watson has demanded a trade, or it's made it been known that he wants to get out of Houston. There's one quarterback, though, whose name is being thrown around every day, it seems like. And for the life of me, I don't understand why, because if I had him as my quarterback, I would want to build around him. And that's Sam Darnold with the New York Jets. This man is 24 years old as he's heading into his fourth NFL season.
Right.
I believe his fifth NFL season. And he was a natural athlete. You saw him light it up in the Pac-12. He has had nothing around him to this point. Complete dysfunction on the offensive line. No weapons of note. I don't understand why you're pulling the plug on Sam Darnold, especially now that you're out of the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes. If there were a chance that you might get the number one pick and you really wanted to go in on Trevor Lawrence, fine. I understand it. But it's not what happened. So to hit the reset button on a Zach Wilson or one of these other guys, Justin Fields, I don't understand it. Sam Darnold is the dude. Just build around him.
No, I'm on the fence on this one as well, Ben. And it's tough because you mentioned it. He is going into year four. And I believe I think they have to make a decision this year in the coming months of will they give him the fifth-year option as a quarterback, starting quarterback on his rookie deal. We'll see what the Jets decide to do. But they could hit the reset button. And I was having this discussion actually just a couple days ago that sometimes when you hit the reset button, you have to when you bring in a new head coach, a new staff, because they don't have a lot of time to truly learn Sam Darnold because he's going to be up for an extension at some point. You know, really, if you offer him the fifth-year option, you've only really have 2 years with him, year four and year five. And maybe if it works out, you can franchise him in his sixth year. But that's a lot to go where there are some quarterbacks in this draft that you're sitting at number two currently right now. And it's like, we may not get Trevor Lawrence, but there's a Justin Fields, there's a Zach Wilson that we can start over at the quarterback position to a guy that may be able to handle the new offense that we're going to implement a little bit better than Sam. So that's the one aspect that New York can be thinking about. Yeah, building around Sam Darnold, you can, but I just feel like if I'm a new head coach, I'm coming in, I've got a secure deal that I'm going to be here for about 3 or 4 years, Ben. I'm going to be here for a while. I'm not going anywhere. I can build it my way. I don't know if I want to use some players that were here before. I want to do it things totally different.
There's nothing that you've seen from Sam Darnold so far that makes you question whether he's an NFL quarterback, whether it makes you question whether he's got a long-term future in this league. There's nothing you've seen over the last three seasons that has you pause for concern about Sam Darnold. It's been about the organization, about the pieces around him, about the help. Right. This dude is a natural athlete. He's big, strong, has a rocket arm. He's 24. I don't understand why you're pulling the plug.
Yeah, I think it's because, like I said, you want to build up assets, get as much as you can, and start to really rebuild that roster. Sam Darnold, this year, I still don't think they'll have a roster that will suit what his skill set has. It will still be a roster in rebuild, in transition. And they have draft picks now. Remember, they traded away Jamal Adams.
They've got nine draft picks this year.
They've got some draft capital to bring in players, but can that all happen quickly? Can that
all happen? Is there a USC quarterback curse? You're a Pac-12 guy.
It's a quarterback curse, but then you can kind of move away from it a little bit because we used to say that about Alabama running backs that came into the NFL. Like, oh, they come in, they have these great careers in college, and they come into the NFL, and it's like, and then Derrick Henry just debunked that. Like, just get that out of here. Like, stop, because he is continually playing at a high level. Kenyon Drake is still playing. I mean, Alvin Kamara, I know he went to Tennessee, but he started at Alabama. T.J. Yeldon is still in the league. I don't want to go down the list of running backs from Alabama. I mean, Josh Jacobs as well with the Raiders. I know Art.
They seem to have figured it out. That curse, I feel like, has been lifted. But when it comes to USC quarterbacks, their success in the NFL has been limited. Carson Palmer, obviously the most successful, I suppose, but he went through his struggles. Matt Barkley, Matt Leinart, the list goes on now.
Well, we could also say that, and I'm not trying to pick on Alabama, trust me. I don't want people to understand. I'm not picking on Alabama, but we can say that about Alabama quarterbacks as well, right? From John Parker Wilson's to Greg McElroy's
AJ
to
McCarron.
AJ McCarron. And then
But they don't seem to have the fanfare traditionally like a big-time USC quarterback. That's one of the glamour positions in the Pac-12 in Los Angeles.
We'll see what quarterback is
the big deal. And I think if you're a Jet fan, you know if they move off Darnold, you know he's lighting it up somewhere else. He's having a great career, maybe a couple Super Bowls. Who knows? Maybe Sam Darnold goes to Canton if he can get out of white and green. I think the Jets should keep him. That's just my two cents. All right, coming up next, we're going to find out where Kirk Morrison ranks in the all-time rankings of Raiders linebackers. Plus, we've got Darius Miles, one half of the Knuckleheads. He's coming up in about 20 minutes or so. Really excited to catch up with D. Miles. Ben Schwartz, you know him from Middle Ditch and Schwartz. Sonic the Hedgehog himself, he's calling in a little bit later. Plus, the man who knows all things Steelers, Ed Bouchette from The Athletic, going to break down the latest comments from Kevin Colbert, the GM of the Steelers. A big show today. Ben Lyons and Kirk Morrison filling in for Rich on The Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere.